The believer as a stranger and a pilgrim, more particularly as an overcomer. And tonight, in the will of the Lord, we want to consider the promises to the overcomers. Promise number one. Book of the Revelation, chapter 2. Verse 7. Starting at the middle of the verse, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To eat of the tree of life. Now, last time we saw who the overcomers were and are. And promise number one, they are to eat of the tree of life. What is the tree of life? Genesis chapter 3. The overcomers are to eat of the tree of life. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. The Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life, eat and live forever. If you eat of the tree of life, you'll live forever. But we saw last time that the overcomer has eternal life. Why would we who have eternal life eat of the tree of life which gives eternal life? What's the purpose of eating for eternal life when you have it already? We read in John 3:16 and Romans 3, we have eternal life. The tree of life gives eternal life. Why should we eat of it if we have eternal life? Job chapter 6. Job chapter 6. Verse 6. Can that which is insipid, unsavory, untasted, be eaten without salt? Is there any taste in the white of an egg? Why do we eat? We not only eat to live, but we eat for the flavor of the food. It's so nice how the Bible puts these things. Would you imagine that this verse is in the Bible? The white of an egg has no taste and you put salt on it? Would you expect that in the Bible? But that's another reason why we eat, not only to live, but for the flavor of the food. Why do you put pepper on your food? Hot sauce, ketchup, pickles, mustard. Why do you put all these things on your food? Not to live, because of the taste. The taste of the food. And when we get to heaven, we're going to enjoy the tree of life. Not to live, but for the delightful taste. Don't you look forward to that? We're going to have a good time in heaven, tasting of the tree of life. Psalm 19, please. Psalm 19, verse 10. More, speaking of the word of God, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey. The word of God has a taste, a flavor. When was the last time you had a good meal, a good spiritual meal? Psalm 119. Verse 103. How sweet are thy words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. That's why we're going to eat of the tree of life in heaven. Not to get life, to enjoy the precious flavors. Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. There is a flavor to the word of God, and when we get there, we're going to eat of the tree of life, not to live, but for the flavor. I wonder what it's going to taste like up there. Any idea what it's going to taste like? The sisters in this meeting cook nicely. They can really cook. I wonder what that food up there is going to taste like. Like honey. Ezekiel chapter 3. Verse 1. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll. And go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. He said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I may give thee. Then I did eat, and it was in my mouth as honey. If the word is so sweet down here, what is going to be up there? Eating for the joy of eating. I had a friend, very dear friend. Lloyd was his name. He was down this way before he went to be with the Lord. He worked at R.H. Macy's in New York. And one day he was in the locker room reading his testament. And as he read, he said, wow! Did you ever do that? He didn't know that somebody was in the same room with him and came, what's the matter? Can I help you? Oh, no. Why did you make that noise? I was reading the book. It'll do that for you. It'll make you shout for joy. I remember when I was a boy, my father used to have a Bible class at home on Wednesday nights. And I would listen to these brothers, just about six of them. Oh, brother, that was good. Oh, that was fine. Thank the Lord. And I said to myself, this sounds as if they're eating ice cream. I always liked ice cream and still do. And with these oohs and ahs, I said, this sounds as if they're eating ice cream. And then one day I said, Lord, please let me read the Bible and get what they're getting. And you know he answered that prayer. And many a time I jump out of my seat. The joy, the pleasant taste of reading from his word. 2 Samuel chapter 19. 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 35. Let's read verse 34. And Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old. Can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Oh, isn't that sad? Lovely food placed before him and he couldn't taste it. I knew a brother that had that trouble. He'd lost his sense of taste. And I'd watch him eat. I said, how does he know when he has enough? It has no taste. But this book has taste. And when we get up there, we're going to enjoy the taste. The delicious taste. Genesis chapter 18. Verse 1. Genesis 18, verse 1. The Lord appeared unto him, that is Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched. Wash your feet, rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, kneaded, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran out into the herd and fetched a tender calf and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. He took butter and milk and the calf which he had breast and dressed it before them. He stood by them under the tree, and they, all of them, Abraham the three, did eat communion. And when we're up there, we're going to sit and eat. Eat. Read with me, please, in the book of the Revelation, chapter 21. Book of the Revelation, chapter 21, and verse 3. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. Chapter 3, please. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. My. Isn't that class? We're going to sup with the Lord. The Lord's going to be at the table. How does that make you feel, beloved? I can't sup with President Bush. He doesn't even know me. But I'm going to sup at the same table with the Lord. Isn't that something to look forward to? The supper and the supping of fellowship. Recently, and I hope the Andersons don't mind my referring to it, I was invited to their home for dinner. And you know how the sisters in the meeting, I have never been to an assembly where the sisters can't cook. Oh, the food was delicious. But there were two couples there from Scotland whom I had never seen. And you know they added to the meal? The conversation, the agreement, it was a delight to sit and talk to people you have never seen and everything's in common. Not like the Democratic Convention. They're trying to make up, but they're in a lot of disagreement. But at this dinner, there was agreement. Mutual food and mutual conversation. That's the way it's going to be in heaven. The Lord is going to be in the midst. I wonder how I'm going to behave. The Lord, not President Bush. The Lord in the midst, and I'm sitting down there eating with him. I wonder what he's going to say. I wonder what his voice is going to be like. Is he going to speak in a deep bass voice, a high soprano voice, or a baritone tenor voice? Isn't that something to look forward to? Sitting with the Lord at the same table, eating food and conversing together with the Lord. But there is another aspect that we read of in the book of Genesis. We are going to eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Paradise. What is paradise? Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Verse 43. Jesus said unto him that is the thief on the cross, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What is paradise like? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to sup with the Lord in paradise. Not only eat with him and commune with him, we're actually going to be with him in paradise. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, Paul speaking said, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul was caught up into paradise, and he says what he saw there human language cannot describe. And that's where we're going. I don't know how this makes you feel, but it makes me feel real good. I am not in the high societies down here. But one day I'm going to be in the highest society in creation, with the Lord in the midst, and there I'm going to sit and dine and talk with him. But what is paradise? Paradise is a place of exquisite beauty. Exquisite beauty. And when we get to heaven, Paul says it's so beautiful that human language cannot describe it. Again, I don't know how you feel, but I sure want to see this place. Beloved, these are the things that await us in heaven. To dine with the Lord in a perfect environment. A beautiful place. Paradise. Some translation translated as pleasure garden. I've seen some beautiful gardens. I remember in France, at Versailles, there's the museum with the Hall of Mirrors, beautiful place. While most of the folks stayed inside to look at the museum, I stayed in the garden. Oh, what a beautiful garden. Paradise. Such beauty. And then I think of the island of Jamaica. The Castleton Gardens. Beautiful. Hope Gardens. Beautiful. New York City. Driving from New York north to Albany. We pass what you call the Mohonk Gardens. Do you know what the traffic signs say? Maintain your speed, do not slow down. The gardens are so beautiful, there's a tendency to slow down to look at them. Paradise, a place of exquisite beauty. In Missouri, there's the place called the Jewel Box. Oh, what a beautiful place. What beautiful flowers in the jewel box. In paradise, Paul says, there is going to be beauty that we cannot describe. Read with me, please, Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. Garden of fragrance. Not only will the flowers be beautiful, but the fragrance emanating from them will be beautiful. The next time you go to New York, go to the Garden of Fragrance in Brooklyn. You go into this garden, the flowers are there, and the aromas, the pleasant odors wherever you go. No air pollution. And in heaven, we are not only going to eat the best, with the best taste, with the beauties around us. Every time we breathe, we're going to breathe a pleasant fragrance. Again, I say, how does that make you feel? Would you like to be there? No air pollution in heaven. Let me read you a little bit of what heaven is like. The place where we are going. I have so many notes here, you'll have to excuse me. Heaven. Oh my. That's where we're going. Place of exquisite beauty. No tears, no heartaches, no sickness, no pain, and no death. Do you like that? Does it appeal to you? People never get tired, they carry no burdens, and they never get old. You seem very serious. To me, this is pleasant. This sort of thing draws a smile. No separations, no disappointments, and no goodbyes. No sin, no accidents, no cemeteries or funerals. How about it, beloved? No undertakers, no morgues, no crepe on the doors, for no one ever dies. That's where I'm going. Pardon me. That's where we're going. Nothing ever spoils. Have to keep things in the refrigerator so they don't spoil. Up there, nothing ever spoils. Flowers never lose their fragrance. Leaves are always green. No thunderstorms, volcanoes, earthquakes, hurricanes, tidal waves, or tsunamis. How about it? No germs, oh my. No fevers. The sun does not shine there. The Lord will be the light of heaven. It is never too hot or too cold. How's that? No drunkards or immoral people there. No illegitimate children. No prisons, jails, or reformatories. Doors will have no locks, and windows will have no bars. No lustful books or pictures or pornography. No taxis. How does that appeal to you, beloved? No taxis. You're not going to pay taxes, Devin. And the Lord says he's going to prepare mansions. I often wonder, what is that going to look like? And since we're not going to get tired and have to sleep, I don't believe there are going to be any bedrooms in the mansions. Agree with me? Does that seem reasonable? No taxes. Let me read for you a tract that I have had for some time. A tax assessor came one day to a poor believer to determine the amount of tax the believer would have to pay. The following conversation took place. What property do you possess? Asked the tax assessor. I am a very wealthy man, said the believer. List your possessions, please. First, I have everlasting life. Isn't that something to have? John 3:16. Second, I have a mansion in heaven. John 14:2. Third, I have peace that passes understanding. Philippians 4 and 7. Fourth, I have joy unspeakable. 1 Peter 1 and 8. Fifth, I have divine love which never fails. 1 Corinthians 13 and 8. Sixth, I have a faithful, pious wife. Proverbs 31 and 10. Seventh, I have healthy, happy, obedient children. Exodus 20 and 12. Eighth, I have true, loyal friends. Proverbs 18 and 24. Ninth, I have songs in the night. Psalm 42 and 8. Tenth, I have a crown of life. James 1 and 2. The tax collector closed the book and said, "You are truly a rich man, but I can't collect anything on your tax." I don't know what you have. That's what we have. That's what heaven's going to be like. There are going to be no cripples there, no deformed, no blind, no deaf. No beggars or destitutes, no diseases, no hospitals, no doctors. I'm not going to practice medicine up there. That's a relief. Practice of medicine, hard work. No sickness up there, no doctors, no lawyers. Our sisters there won't have to defend anybody. No sociologists, no marriage counselors. That's where we're going. That's heaven. What a place to be. I think I should stop. Don't you? We are going to heaven. Paradise. We are going to be with the Lord. Supping with the Lord in the midst. So I wonder what that's going to be like. The Lord eating with me and talking to me, and I hope I don't speak out of order. Heaven. 624, please. 624. Brother, come right up, please. Don't.